Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Kuf Lamed Aleph, the second line from the top, you'll notice a triangled expression, Toshma. We are in the middle of a series of questions on a principle that was introduced in our last year by Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda spoke about one who damages Matnos Kahuna, the Zroa L'chaim V'keva, the portions of meat that are given to Kohanim from Chulin animals, if they were someone damaged them or ate them before giving them to a Kohen, so there is an exemption from paying. This was based on one of a couple of reasons, one of them being that this is classified as Momon She'en Lo Tovim. There is no specific owner of any portion of Matnas Kahuna. That is, if, let us say, someone comes with a claim, you know, you ate the Matnas Kahuna, so therefore pay me, compensate me, the owner could say, I never intended to give it to you, I was going to give it to someone else. That's called Momon, She'ein Lo Tovim, property or items that have no claimer of it. This principle can be extended to all kinds of other tithes as well. And hence, we had a series of questions that we were involved with in our last shiur, where we seemed to see that if something happened to different kinds of tithes, the owner was obligated to compensate. If you see that there's an obligation to compensate, that would run counter to Rav Chisda's teaching. We continue in the spirit of questioning on the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph, where we are starting today's shiur, Toshma, the second, third line from the top. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see that it's a Tanaic source by virtue of the fact that it appears in a frame. Harei she'onsoi beis hamelech grono. The king, the government, came and forcibly took away grains from some owner. Im b'choivoy, if their collection was because of a debt that the owner owed to the government, so chayov la'aser, the owner even is going to have to pay out of his pocket the maisros and the tithes that he would have given from his granary and give those tithes to a kohen. Im b'anporos, poter mila'aser, if the government came and collected as a ba'onis, Rashi explains ba'anporos behefsid v'alchinam, if for no reason they came and swiped away his grains, then poter mila'aser, he does not have to compensate the kohanim that, as a result of his losing his grains, would have also lost their tithes. But we do see in this source that if the owner of the granary happened to owe debts to the government, and the government collected his grains, thereby preventing the owner from separating grains and giving as tithes and giving them to the Kohanim, he, the owner, nevertheless is obligated to compensate. So this Chayav La'aser would run counter to what Rav Chisda said, that one who damaged or ate the tithes is exempt from paying. Here, we see that he is obligated to compensate the Kohanim that lost out as a result of the king collecting his grains because of debts that he owed. As Rashi says, if this wasn't classified as din, and this is an expression that's appropriate for, or we're using based on knowledge of the last shiur, that tithe debts are considered din, are considered within the realm of formal legal cases of collection. If it were not that, then why would he be obligated to pay? The Gemara answers, Shaini Hasam, the case of the government collecting a person's grains because of debts that he owed, this is different. The Ka Mishtarshi lay, because by the government collecting the grains as payment for his debts, he is thereby saving. Mishtarshi has to do with he's saving from paying out of his own pocket from some other source. So in a sense, this fellow is profiting by having his grains collected, and specifically the tithes that were latent in these grains. If we glance at Rashi, Shaini Hosam, Deko Mishtar Shilei, Hosam Lav Behotso B'dayonim Tnan, source that spoke about Chayav La'aser is not a reference to the court coming and making a collection from him. And in other words, that is exactly what Rav Chisda said does not happen with regard to someone who damaged tithes. Rav Chisda said, since it's mamon sheim lo tovim, since there's no specific person who is entitled to collect, therefore the court does not get involved. Here, when there's a reference made to chayav la'aser, we are likewise not talking about a court involvement. Elo, as Rashi says, chiyuva be'alma, an obligation that rests upon the owner. Kishar chiyuve maisris, just like in general a person is chayav to tithe, an obligation to tithe. V'chiyuva vaday ikole, there certainly is an obligation, doha mishtar shile, because he is saving. Klomar mistakir hu bo sharei hoyatzorch lefro amos, he certainly has an obligation, because otherwise he would have had to pay cash out to pay off his debts. In this case, he's saving that cash, so to speak, by having his grains collected, and included in that were the tithes, and that's not right. And therefore, he is still obligated to pay out the maisros from his pocket. But once again, the main point for our discussion is this does not represent a challenge to Rav Chisda, who spoke about the court making a collection. This is simply a personal obligation that he must fulfill. Toshma. Well, we bring another source in with an attempt to ask on Rav Chisda, and this you can see by the fact that we have another triangle. Omar Loi, a person approached a butcher, and he said, "Mechor li b'nei me'el shel pora, I would like you to sell me the inner organs of a cow." V'hoya bohen matonas kahuna, and amongst the inner organs of a cow is the keva, and the keva is one of the three limbs that are given to kohanim, zra l'chayayim v'keva. Nos non la kohen, the purchaser of these innards, when he gets the b'nei me'ayim that he buys, he has to give the keva to the kohen. The eino menakeloi min adomim, and the mocher, the seller, doesn't give him a discount, because the buyer knew that there were matonas here, something that is obligated to be given to the kohen. So that the buyer, when he bought this the box, we'll call it this carton of organs, he knew that he wasn't paying for the keva, but rather he knew that when he gets this delivery of organs, the keva that's in there must be given to a kohen. Lo kachei menu b'mishkal, if however the purchase was made by weight, and therefore the box of organs, including the keva, was weighed, and he was paying a per pound price. Noisnon la kohen, the buyer shall give the keva to the kohen. Umenake loi min adamim, and he is expected to receive a discount from the owner, the one who sold it to him. We dashed underline the expression noisna la kohen, indicating that there is an obligation a chiyuv for him to give it to a kohen. Amai, why is there an obligation to give this to a kohen? Leve kemazik matnes kuno sheochlan. Why is it not viewed any differently than Rav Chisda's case of someone who damaged or ate the matnes kuno? So by the owner, the tabuch, the original butcher, by his giving it to someone else, it's like he's mazik it, he's damaging it, so to speak. Therefore, there should be an exemption for any further need to pay out. So the Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam, the case here is different. The Isnu Binayu, the very organ, the kava in this case, is still extant. It's around. And therefore, look, it's around, so just give it to a kohen. Rav Chisda was not talking about a case like that. Rav Chisda was talking about a case where it was eaten, where it was destroyed, and in the absence of the actual thing being around, so Rav Chisda said, since it's Mamon Shein Lo Toivim, so there is no expectation to offer alternative compensation. Toshma, we have another source which will present a question. Tisha Nichse Koyein, there are 9 properties of Kohanim, and we see a list of items here: Truma, Utrumas Meiser, V'chalo, V'reshes Hagez, U'matonos, V'hadmai, V'habikurim, V'keren, V'hachomesh. We are not going to involve ourselves with explaining each one of these items, but you see in this list matonos as well, the 5th item. This includes the Zerah L'Chayev HaKeva, and it's referred to as Nichsei Kohen, the properties of Kohen. Now, this classification of matonos being Nichsei Kohen, Lemai, what legal ramifications does this have? Lav lahotzion b'dayonim. Is it not a reference to the involvement of judges to make collection from someone who hasn't yet tithed these things? So hotzah b'dayonim, that the matonos are subject to hotzah b'dayonim, would run counter to Rav Chisda's teaching, who said that the matonos is momon she'ein lo toivim, and as such, the courts can't get involved, because courts get involved only if someone is laying a claim to it. The Gemara says, Loi, that's not the point of this source. Rather, Lichidisnan, this teaching that there are 9 different categories of Nichsei Koyein, included in which are the Matonas, is for the following. Loma Amru Nichsei Koyein, why is something classified as Nichsei Kohen? Shekoine Bohen Avonim V'Karkois V'Matamea. Because a Kohen, once he receives any of these different types of tithes that were listed, it then becomes something of money value to the Kohen, and he can use it for the purchase of slaves, lands, and even unkosher variety animals, horses, donkeys, etc. Ubal Choiv Noitlon Bechovo, and if the Kohen happen to owe debts to someone, the creditor can come along and take any of these items after the Kohen received them. The Isha B'Ksubasa, and a wife of a Kohen can be paid her Ksuba with any of these items in the event that a Kohen divorces his wife and he has to pay her ksuba, so these items can be used to pay that off. The Sefer Torah, and if a Kohen wants to write to have his Sefer Torah written, he can use this to pay for that. Hahu Liva Davichotef Batanta. Before going on in the Gemara, we ought to point out that after all of these questions that were raised against Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda successfully answered all of the challenges. So we are left with Rav Chisda's original din that Hamazik Matnas Kuno She'ochlan Poter Milishalim. Now this Gemara describes a Levi Hahu Liva Dehavechotef Matanta. He would take matonis from children that were carrying them to a Kohen. Asu Amru Le L'Rav. This was told to Rav, that there was a Levi who was grabbing matonis that were on their way to be given to a Kohen. Before going on in the Gemara, Let us look at the outside margin where we have a Nosei appearing. Nosei is a topic heading in the Shas Ozer, which appears on your screen. We offer in this cornerstone of the Gemara marking system a feature whereby titles are assigned to new sugyas as they come along. And in this case, we have a Nosei heading for our Gemara. And in addition to that, we also provide on the side structural notes that we call Mivneh. Mivneh meaning structure. In this case, we also see Rav appearing in a firebox because this will keep us preoccupied for quite a while in the Gemara. We have written on the side Sveikas Rav, Rav's doubt. E Levium Nikroim Am. Are Levium classified as Am? The word Am is a word found in the Pasuk that refers to the Matnas Kahuna. Are Levium classified as Am? And if they are, so we say Nafkamina Lahoitsi Mehem Matnas Kahuna. There will be a Nafkamina for us, a practical application, that if they're classified by the term Am, we would take from the Levi who slaughters his own chulin animal, we would take from him the Zra'a L'chayim V'keva. In other words, he would be obligated to give them to a Kohen. Let us now go back to the Gemara, where we saw a Levi grabbing Matonas from the children that were carrying them to a Kohen. The story was told to Rav. Omar Lehu, Rav, and Rav said, Lo Mistaya de lo Shaklinon Mine, is it not enough that we don't extract from him, that we don't take from him Matonis Elo Michtif Nami Chotif, but he also goes and grabs others? The Gemara now focusing on Rav, who indicated two things. He said that we don't take from him, that's one aspect. And he also seemed to express his astonishment at the fact that this Levi was grabbing Matonas. The Gemara asks, V'Rav, as far as Rav is concerned, E Ikru Am, if Levium are called Am, and before going further, we glance in the margin of our Gemara, where we have written in the Pasuk from Dvarim Perik Yudches Pasuk Gimel. It says there, V'Zem Mishpat HaKohanim, this is the rule regarding Kohanim. Me'es ha'om, me'es zovchei hazevach. Imshor, imseh. Whether you're dealing with an ox or a sheep, what we take me'es ha'om, we take from the people and from those who are slaughtering. V'nosan l'kohen azroel chayim akeva. And we give to the Kohanim that which we took from the Am, the Zroa, L'chayim V'keva, these different parts of chulin animals that happen to be slaughtered. So, being that you see in this Pasuk, Me'es Ho'am, if Levium are called Am, so then Mishkal Nami Lishkol Minayhu, then we should take from them. And yet Rav indicated that we don't take from them, we don't collect from them the Matonis. E lo ikru am, if they're not called am, then rachmana patrinhu, then the Torah offers them an exemption. So why was Rav indicating that, is it not enough that we don't collect from them? Of course we don't collect from them. There was no need for Rav to say that. If Levium are not classified as am, they have their own Torah exemption from giving Matonis. So why did Rav state his point the way he did? The Gemara answers, Misafkale I ikru am, I lo ikru am. Rav is in doubt whether they are called am or not. Now this is going to be the main thrust of our Gemara, or the main point of interest, is that Rav's position with regard to Levium is one of doubt. If they are called Am, so then, of course, they would have to pay out. How in the world could they be exempted? And if they're not called Am, so of course we wouldn't collect from them. Rav wouldn't have to say, well, is it enough that we don't collect from them? It would be obvious. Yosef Rav Papa v'ka'omar lo l'hashmaitza. Rav Papa was seated and was saying over, he was reporting this teaching, namely Rav's position that regarding Levium as being a suffik. As you can see in the Gemara, there a new marking appears, a triangle with a colored end tip. This is, of course, to distinguish the marking, the triangle, from the previous triangles. This is a new series. On the side, we have written a mivneh comment, a structural note. The triangle with the point facing upwards is a hoychacha de'ikru am, evidence or proof that Levium are called am. When the triangle is flipped over, hoychacha de'lo ikru am, it will be a proof that they're not called am. It may be said, as far as this Gemara is concerned, that any source that would represent a definitive stance with regard to the Levi status, that source would present a challenge to Rav, because Rav took the position that the Levi status is one of doubt. So we have a source introduced that functions here as a question. You'll notice with the markings, we have a long question marking that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a kuf that's encircled with a descending dashed line. This is a long question. As far as the markings are concerned, it represents a very long question. You can see that it extends till the fifth wide line on Omid Beis. Most of this section of Gemara, we will point out a bit later, is actually found in brackets, meaning that a lot of tangential information will be featured that doesn't function as the heart of the question, and we will, Mirtz Hashem, deal with that when we get to it. So the Gemara will be now asking a question, and the result of this question will be that the Levi is called Am, and as such the Levium would be subject to an obligation to part with the Matonis. Esve Rav Idi Bar Oven Rav Papa. Rav Papa, who had recited this teaching of Rav, so he represents Rav in this discussion, is now challenged by Rav Idi. The source describes numerous different kinds of tithes. Arba matanus aniyim shebekeren. There are four types of tithes owed to the poor in a vineyard. Vineyard, a place where grapes grow, and they are, the names of the different tithes are haperet, v'ha'olulos, v'ashikho, v'apea. V'sholosh shebetvua. There are three types of matnas aniyim that one is expected to leave to the poor from grains. Haleket v'ashikho v'apea. Shnayim shebeilon. There are two types of tithes that are characteristic of trees, fruits growing on trees, and they are hashikha v'hapea. We are not going to get involved with describing the nature of each one of these tithes, because that's beyond the purview of our shiur. Suffice it to say that we see the number of different tithes relevant to the different locations. The kulon ein bohen toivas hanol lebailim. All of these matnas aniyim that were featured do not entitle the owner of the field the rights to decide to whom, to which oni, to which poor man they would go, but rather first come, first serve. Namely, if an oni comes to the field of the field, the first oni that comes, he has the rights to take whatever he wants. The afilu oni shebisrael motziin miyado. Let us say a poor man happens to also own a small piece of land, and there's produce growing on that. So from his own land, he is obligated to part with it for the benefit of other aniyim. In other words, a poor man who owns a field is not entitled to take the leket shikha and peah tithes from his own field. Meiser Oni Hamischalek Besoch Beso. This is another type of tithe. This is 10% of a person's harvest that one divides or distributes from his house, as opposed to the above mentioned tithes, which are a function of produce that's left in the field where they were growing. This Meiser Oni is a tithe taken from harvested produce that a person already gathered into his house. So Meiser Oni, which is Mischal Besoch Beso, which is divided from his house, Yesh Boi Toivas Hanola Bailam. In this case, regarding Meiser Oni, the owner can decide to whom he wants to give his Meiser Oni tithe. Vafilu Oni Shem Yisrael Motzir Oso Miado. Even a poor man who happens to have a harvest of his own, he must give away the Meiser Oni, 10%, to another poor man. And a third category, as far as this source is concerned, Ushar Matnes Kuna, Kigon Hazrel, Chayav HaKeva, other kinds of ties, specifically the Zra Chayav HaKeva, the arm, the jaw, and stomach of chulin slaughterings, of non-sacrificial slaughterings, Ein Motzien Oison, Lo Mikoyin Lukoyin, Velo Milevi Lelevi. We won't extract them or collect them from one Kohen to give to another Kohen, or from one Levi to give to another Levi. Now, this last line you can see is dashed, underlined, and there's also an indication we wrote between the lines, Mikan Hakusha Ke Demuvuar Ba'omid Beis. From here, we will see the question as is explained on Omid Bey. So we have a bracketed section of Gemara that you can see with a bracket length indicator to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You will notice a vertical descending dash dotted line, and if you continue to Omid Bey's, following along the left hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice the end of this bracketed section is on the fourth wide line, at which point there is a framed section which is a quote of what we just read, the end of the source we just read. So if we skip till that point, we would read Ushar Matnes Kuna Kagon Hazruav Chaim Vakeva Ein Motzien Oison Lo Mikoyen Lukoyen Velo Milevi Lelevi. Now, an inference from that section, Ha Milevi Lukoyen. However, if it were a question of taking from a Levi in order to give it to a Kohen, Motzian, we would take it away from the Levi, Almo Ikru'am. So we see from this, the fact that we are taking from a Levi, that Levium are, yes, classified as Am. You'll notice Rashi, toward the lower section of the narrow lines of Rashi, Rashi says, Ha mi Levi l'kayin motzien, alma de Levim ikru am. From the fact that we are taking matonis, these matonis, the Zrochaim v'keva from the Levi, shows us that they are classified as am, v'amai motzien. Well, why should we be taking imis safkale l'rav ikru am ilo? If the issue of Levi classification were a doubt, when you have issues of money matters that are in doubt, we don't take away from such a party. So from this source, where we see we inferred that you would take away, that would present a challenge to the position Rav was taking, that the status of Levi is a status of doubt. The Gemara will answer that this source is not referring to the Zerua L'Chaim V'Keva. Rather, kegoin hazroa. The word kegoin means like zroa, the low zroa. That's what the Gemara answers, and you can see that immediately after the question. And when the term kegoin zroa appears, meaning like the zroa, umayinihu, maiser rishon. This source is talking about maiser rishon, a different issue altogether. But our sugya, as we indicated in our introduction, revolves around the issue of Zerua L'chayim V'keva, based on the pasuk that we stated, that we featured at the beginning of the sugya from Dvorim, Perek Yudches Pasuk Gimel, which spoke about collecting Me'es Ha'am, the Zerua L'chayim V'keva. Once you mentioned that the source is talking about a different kind of tithe, so it no longer presents a challenge to Rav and our sugya. Now, of course, you notice we skipped an entire section of Gemara, but that was only to convey the question and answer as is relevant directly to Rav and our sugya. Now, let's go back over the entire piece of Gemara with the, we'll call the tangential information. But once we have presented the Gemara as we have, so you can see the question and answer, and now we can involve ourselves with the side point without becoming confused. Of course, when we get to the end of this bracketed section, we'll continue reading the Gemara as we already did. What happens structurally, the source that we just finished, in other words, the long source beginning with the expression Arba Matnas Aniyim, the source that preceded this bracketed section, will now be quoted in an excerpt fashion. And you can see I have a frame now enclosing two lines of Gemara, the bottom line, another framed section, and on Omid Beis, the fourth line from the top, another frame section, etc. These are all excerpts from the source that we just read, and the Gemara will make notes on each section as we go along. So on the outside margin, you'll notice we have a topic heading. We have written Nosei Bas Sograim. The Sograim means in the brackets of the Gemara. And we have written Mekoros Legabi HaFroshes Hashonos Minat Someach. Regarding the Gemara will reveal the sources regarding the different tithes from one's produce. Arba Matnas Shebekerem. The source had told us that there are four tithes that are left for the poor in a vineyard, and they are called Haperet V'Olos V'Shiklo V'Apea. This dichtiv. The pasuk says, "V'karmecha lo sa'oleil uperet karmecha lo salaket." Peret and olulos are different phenomena that are associated with grape clusters, and it tells us, the pasuk says that one's vineyard, one should not take lo sa'oleil and uperet karmecha lo salaket, indicating leave it, lo salake, don't collect it, leave the peret and olalos for the poor. Uksiv ki siv tzor karmecha lo sa'oleil acharecha. This is another pasuk. Omar Rabbi Levi, acharecha zu shikha. The word acharecha is a reference to the shikha tithe, shikha having to do with things that one forgot in his harvesting. Peah, as far as Peah being the fourth of the Matonah Shebekerem, fourth of the vineyard-related tithes. How do I know that Peah? Peah literally is a corner or a section is left for the poor. Gomar acharecha acharecha mizayis. We use a gzera shava from the case of an olive tree, even though right now we're focusing right now on a kerem, on a vineyard, which is grape-related. In order to derive peah, we see what is written in the Torah in the context of olives. Dechtiv, it says, Kisach boi zesecha, lo sifa'er acharecha. V'tono debei Rabbi Shmuel, shelo titol tif'artoi mimenu. And this expression of tif'arto is a reference to the peah. So, from the fact that you see by the Zayas, it says, Lo tifa'er acharecha, and you have the word acharecha in the case of the Zayas, basing ourselves on the fact that the Lo tifa'er is a reference to Peah. We have a note recommending looking at the Sifsei Chachomim commentary on the Torah in order to appreciate this a little more. Nevertheless, for our purposes, Lo Sifa'er means Peah, and you have the word Acharecha in the context of the Olives. You also have the word Acharecha in the context of the vineyard. We saw that pasuk a few lines up where it said Ki Sifsor Karmecholoso Acharecha. And hence, I understand that by the vineyard as well, Peah is to be left. Continuing in the Gemara, the bottom line, you see the framed section. This is a quote from the source we learned above. Shloisha Shebetvua, the three types of Matnas Aniyim that are found by grains, Haleket, Hashikha, Vahapeah. Dichtiv, the psukim that refer to each one of these kinds of ties, it says, Uvekutzuchem es ktsir arzuchem, lo sechale pa'as sadecha bekutzrecha, veleket ktsircha vechulei. So you can see, we've dashed underlined pa'as and leket, indicating leket and peah are to be left from the kotsir. The kotsir, a reference to the grains, the harvesting of grains. The pasuk says, ki siktsor ktsircha, v'sadecha, v'shochachta, omer v'sadeh. And you can see v'shochachta, a reference to shikha. So we have accounted in the psukim for the three matnas aniyim left from grain fields. Shnayim shebe'ilon, this too is a quote from the source on Amud Aleph, the two matnas aniyim that one leaves in the case of tree harvests, they are hashikha v'apeah. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, by trees, Ki sachboit zeisecha, lo sifa'er acharecha. V'tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, shalotitol tif'arto mimenu. This pasuk of lo sifa'er acharecha, the Tana debei Yishmael, the Tana from the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, explains, do not remove its tif'eres. And its tif'eres, as we said before, means don't take the pay-off. The pasuk says, acharecha zu Ze shikha. That word acharecha is a reference to the shikha. In other words, as one is, acharecha literally means that which is behind you. Namely, as one is harvesting his field, if he walks by grains that he overlooked, he forgot to collect, that's called shikha, and that must be, once you've walked by them, they must be left. Hence the word acharecha, behind you, is a reference to shikha. The source had said, "V'kulon ein bo entoyves hano lebailim." Regarding the ties we have mentioned till now, the leket, shikha, peah, these ties are to be left by the owner, and the first oni that comes along, he has a right to it, and the owner doesn't decide to whom they are given. My taima, what's the reason for this? Aziva ksiva behu. The word aziva is there as opposed to the word nesina, which we'll see referenced later. Aziva means leave it. Just leave it behind. Leave it. You do not give it out. You do not distribute it. Vafilu oni shebisra motzien oiso miyado. Even an oni who happens to be a landowner, he is expected to leave these for the poor, for others. This pasuk equals, it tells us, lahazir oni al shaloi. This is an announcement, a warning to the oni that he must leave it for others. The Rashi says, "Lo silaket leoni v'lager umashma lo silaket." The mashmos of lo silaket means ani mazhir laoni. That the when the pasuk says lo silaket laoni, I am warning laoni, the poor man lo silaket, do not collect. That's of course a reference to an oni that owns his own property on which produce is growing. He must leave it to others. The source had said, "Umaiser oni amischalik besocha bayis yesh bo toiv esanu labaylim." Regarding the maiser oni tithe, which is a tenth of one's produce that one harvested and collected into his property, into his house, that the owner can decide who to whom to give it. My time, what's the reason that by Maiser Oni one does have the right to decide who receives it? Answer, Nesino Ksiva Bey. The Pasuk says, by Maiser Oni, V'nosato la Levi la Ger v'la Yosom. So the word Nesino indicates you can take the initiative, you have a right to decide who receives it. The source had told us, Afil Oni should be Israel, Nesino so miyado. Even if the owner of the produce of the harvest happens to be an oni, we will take away from him the maiser oni. How do we know that? The Omar Reb Ilo Gomar Lager Mehasam. We have a Gezera Shava using the word Lager from the case of Leket. Ma Lahalon Muzer Oni Al Shelo. Just like we saw in the case of the Leket. The Oni was warned, as we saw before in the Pasuk, Lo Salakeit Le'oni, an Azhara on the Oni not to collect. Af Kan, so to hear by Maiser Oni, Muzer Oni Al Shelo. The Oni, the poor man who happens to have his own personal harvest, must give the Maiser Oni to someone else. Because as we mentioned before, in the case of Maiser Oni, the Pasuk says, V'nosato la-levi la-ger. So you have the word la-ger by Maiser Oni as well, resulting in this particular halacha. The Gemara, at this point, ends the bracketed section. And now we are going to focus on the relevant section as far as the question that was raised against Rav Papa. Rav Papa, who had represented Rav in our discussion, the source had said, "Ushar matnes kuna kagon hazral chayim v'keva ein motzien oisan lo mikoyin l'koyin v'lo milevi l'levi." The other matnes kuna included in that are the zral chayim v'keva, the different limbs given from meat slaughterings to the Kohen. So we don't take the Zerach Chayim Keva from a Kohen who happened to slaughter his own animal to benefit another Kohen, and likewise not from one Levi to give to another Levi. However, Ha'mi Levi LeKohen Motzien. We won't hesitate to take from a Levi in order to give to a Kohen. So you see here, we take away from a Levi, Alma Ikru Am. From here we see definitively that Levi, Levim are classified as Am. So why was Rav in a state of doubt when you have a Tanaic source representing the Levi as clearly called Am? The Gemara refutes this and says that the source that said Kagon Hazroel Chayim Keva isn't a reference specifically to the Zroa. Kagon Hazroa Velo Zroa. The source says like the Zroa. In other words, a tithe. We're referring to another kind of tithe. Umayniu, what's that other kind of tithe? Maiser Rishon. If we look at the Rashi before going further in the Gemara, a few lines up from the end of the narrow section, Rashi says, and you'll notice there's a little star there in the Rashi, Umetaretz Kigon Hazroa Velo Zroa, Klomar, Ashar Matnos Kuhuna, Shehein Matona L'Kohen, other Kohen tithes that are given to a Kohen, Bezu Komer de Motzien, referring to those, to some other kind of tithe, we say we take away. V'lo Zroa Atzma, not the exact example, the specific case of the Zroa, because there we don't take away, Dilma Lo Yimikru Am, maybe Levium are not called Am, and in the case of Zra, L'chayim v'keva, only from he was classified as Am would we take. The Gemara just said that the example that the source was really referring to, that we take from a Levi to give to a Kohen, is the Meiser Rishon. Well, this is a little strange. Meiser Rishon, everyone knows, is something that is given to Levium. Why all of a sudden do we have a source indicating through our inference that you would take it away from a Levi and in order to give it to a Kohen? So the Gemara asks with a tone of wonderment, Meiser Rishon, the Levi who? Meiser Rishon is something that is given to a Levi. Why are we here talking about taking it from a Levi in order to give it to a Kohen? The Gemara answers, Kereb Elozer ben Azariah, Desanya, this idea of Meiser Rishon being taken away from a Levi is based on Reb Elozer ben Azariah's source. The source says, Truma le Kohen, Meiser Rishon Lelevi, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. The Truma tithe is given to a Kohen, and the Meiser Rishon tithe is given to a Levi. Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, Omer Afle Kohen. Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, who is the opinion that we want to focus on, he says that it's that the Meiser Rishon can be given even to a Kohen. The Gemara asks, how can you say that the source above that we drew our inference that we take from a Levi to give to a Kohen is based on Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah? Eimar d'yomer Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah af l'Kohen. As far as he is concerned, he said even to a Kohen. However, l'Kohen v'lo l'Levi mi omar, did he say only to a Kohen and not to a Levi? And yet that's what we are saying in the source above, that we take it from the Levi to give it to a Kohen. But that's not what Reb Elozer ben Azariah said. He said, af l'Kohen, even to a Kohen. The Gemara says, in fact, Reb Elozer ben Azariah will say to take it from a Levi to give to a Kohen. L'boser dekan sinu Ezra. This would be relevant to the time in history after Ezra levied a fine against the Levium. There is a little historical background necessary in order to appreciate this idea, and that is that when Ezra returned to the land of Israel after the Babylonian exile, he noticed that the Levium segment of the Jewish population did not come along with him. As a result of their reluctance to returning to the land of Israel, he fined them, saying that they will no longer receive the Meiser Rishon tithe. The Gemara asks, Amar dekansinu Ezra deloya avinon lehu. If you're basing the explanation on Ezra, all we can say is that he made a fine that we don't give to the Levium the Meiser Rishon. However, Mishkal Minayu Mi Omar, did Ezra go so far as to say that we take away from them Meiser Rishon? And yet, that's what we said above. But all of this, based on all the information we've learned till now, namely bringing in Reb Elozer ben Azariah and saying that he's based on Ezra, with all of that, we wouldn't have concluded that we take away from the Levi. Maximum, all we can conclude is that we won't give to a Levi the Meiser Rishon. Therefore, we have to come up with a new explanation of what was meant by the source above that said the other Matnas Kahuna we will take from a Levi to give to a Kohen, and at the same time not refer to the Zroah Chaim Vakeva specifically. So the Gemara answers, Ela Kagon Zroah, the source above that used the expression Kagon Zroah, and from which we learn Velo Zroah, not the Zroah itself, Umayinihu, and what is that? Reishis Hagez. So this expression of Kegon Zra V'lo Zra, instead of referring to Maaser Rishon, it's referring to Reishis Hagez. Reishis Hagez has to do with the shearings that one does from his sheep. If a Levi, let us say, had sheep that he sheared, we would take the tithe, known as Reishis Hagez, it's a certain measure, a certain weight of wool from one's shearings, that is given to a Kohen. But as far as the main point of our discussion is, we don't have a challenge to Rav's position from that which we've learned till now. At this point you see an inverted triangle. This, and if you want to refer back to our Mivneh explanation, this will be an indication that Levim are not called Am. Ze HaKlal Kol Dover Shehu BeKedusha Kegon Truma UTrumas Maaser V'Challah, all types of tithes that are forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat. That's a Dover Shehu BeKedusha. The result of classifying something as that, as Dover Shehu BeKedusha, is that as Zar, a non-Kohen would be forbidden to eat, and the examples of that are Truma, UTrumas Maaser, and Challah, different kinds of tithes. Motzien Oison Miyadam, we would take them from a Levi. A Levi would be is obligated to give these to a Kohen, and we would extricate them from the Levi. We would, in other words, if a Levi needed to tithe it, we would come and take it from him. V'chol dover she'eino b'kedusha, kegoin hazroa v'chayav akeva, ein motzien oisoi miyadam. The other kinds of tithes, and we have a reference once again to the Zroah Chaim V'Keva, we will not take from the Levi to give to a Kohen. So it's clear from this, it's poshit, that they are not called Am. And as such, why did Rav have a suffix? Here we have a statement that they are not classified as Am. The Gemara answers, as we saw before, Kegon Zroah V'lo Zroah. What this source is referring to is something like the Zroah, but not the Zroah itself. Umay nihu, and what is that? What's the Kegon Zroah? Maaser Rishon ulebaser dekansinu Ezra. The source is referring to the Maaser Rishon tithe at a point in time after Ezra issued his fine. And what the source then is saying that the Maaser Rishon, we wouldn't take away from the Levi. The idea of even like thinking of taking it away from him, that comes up after the Knas, the historical Knas of Ezra. And the point of this source is that even though Ezra issued a Knas, all that means is that we wouldn't give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. However, we won't take it away from him. And that's what we were being taught over here. Ein motzien oisa miyodam. Toshma. You notice a triangle with the point facing up. We will be introducing a source that indicates that the Levium are called Am. The source says, "Hashochet l'koyin l'oivik yechavim, poter min amatonos." One who slaughters for a Kohen or for a Gentile, so the shochet is not obligated to give the matonos to another Kohen from that. Ha l'levi uli Yisrael chayav. However, if someone is shechting on behalf of a Levi or a Yisrael, the shochet is obligated to give the tithes. So we see from here, one shechting for a Levi. The Levi who owns this animal will have to part with the Zroah L'chayav V'Keva, the Matonas. That would show us that they are, yes, classified as Am. The Gemara rejects this and says, Lo Tema, don't say Ha L'Levi Zroah L'chayav, which was an inference. Don't state it like that. Elo Emo. If you want to draw an inference from the source, you can say Ha LeYisrael Chayav, one who is shechting for Yisrael. Only then is the shochet obligated to give the matanis to a Kohen.
Aval a Levi Mai, but let us say he was shechting for a Levi, what would the din be then? Potter. Well, that would be good for Rav if we can conclude that. Well, Ihachi, if that's how you are going to learn this source, listening, then it should have stated explicitly, Hashochet Lelevi Ulaovik Chavan Potter Minamatonis. And as far as a Kohen, the one who's Shochet, that would be obvious, that would be Kol Shekain. V'oid, and furthermore, Ha'tanya, we have a source that says explicitly, Hashochet Lekohen Ulaovik Chavan Potter Minamatonis. Lelevi Yisrael Chayev. Here it says a person who is shechting for a Levi, and it's stated in clear contrast, it's stated first of all explicitly, and in clear contrast to the case of Kohen and Ovid Kechavim, when you're shechting for a Levi, there is an obligation to give the Matonis. Tiufta the Rav. This would appear to be a repudiation of Rav, because Rav had indicated that when you're dealing with a Levi, we don't take from them. Omar Loch Rav. Rav will respond, Tanoi hi. The issue of how to classify Levim as Am or not is a machlokes tanoim. And now the Gemara in presenting this goes to another topic altogether, goes to the topic of Yom Kippur and the Yom Kippur ceremony or ritual that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. From this discussion, we will see that the classification of Levium as Am would be a machlokes tanoim. This will take a few lines of Gemara to develop, and hence we have a long point marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. Before learning the Gemara, though, let us just take note of the pasuk that's relevant to this sukya. Vayikra, we've included it on the side of the Gemara. Vayikra tes zayin pasuk lamed gimel. It says, "V'chiper es mikdash hakodesh ves oil moed ves hamizbeach yichaper ve'al hakohanim ve'al kol am hakohol yichaper." This has to do with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and he is sprinkling the blood of special Yom Kippur sacrifices, and this blood sprinkling serves as an atonement for issues or problems in different areas and for different people. So it says, V'chiper as mikdash hakodesh, ze lifnei ulifnim. That's a reference to an atonement for any issue of impurity that arose in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Lifnei Lifnim. So this is a kapara for tuma that may have taken place there. The pasuk says, Oyel Moyed Ze Hechal. It's a reference to tuma that may have arisen in the Hechal section of the Beis HaMikdash. The Hechal is the section that contains the Shulchan, Menorah, and Mizbeach HaZov. The pasuk says, Mizbeach Kimashmo. It's an atonement for that which took place in tuma regarding the Mizbeach itself, as is indicated by the word. Kemashmo means as it itself indicates. Yichaper, that word is Elu Azoros. That's a reference to the courtyards. Kohanim, kemashmo. Well, once again, as the word indicates, so that there's atonement made for the Kohanim. Am HaKohol, Elu Yisrael. The term Am HaKohol, and the word Am is of critical importance for our discussion. That's a reference to Yisrael. Yichaper, Elu HaLevim. The word Yichaper is a reference to an atonement for the Levim. This source, which we're calling number one, as you may have noticed a few lines up, this shows us that Levim are not included under the term Am. The Tanya Idach, there's another source that says Yichaper, Elu Avodim. That the term Yichaper, according to source number two, is a reference to servants. What about Levium? Well, Levium, according to this, are not included in Yichaper. They would be included under the term Am HaKohol. So according to source number two, Levium are classified as Am. My Lav B'hol Komifligi. Is it not so that this is the point of difference, point of controversy? Demor Sovar Ikru Am. The number two source would say that Levium are called Am. Umar Sovar and source number one, Lo Ikru Am. Levium are not classified as Am. Well, then we would have these two Tanaic sources would be a fulfillment of what was said before, Tanoia, Machlokes Tanoim. The Gemara now asks, V'rav, I sviro le kahai tano lemo. The I sviro le kahai tano lemo. Well, Rav himself, if he holds like, you have two choices, you have two tanoim, and you said that the issue is a machlokes tanoim, so why not say which tana you hold like? The Gemara answers, Misafkale I kahai tano, I kahai tano. This is the very point. Rav was in doubt whether to go like this Tana or like that Tana. Therefore, Rav reacted as he did, as we saw at the beginning of the sugya where Rav appeared in a firebox. He described the case of the Levi that was grabbing the Matonas the way he did. Namely, he said, is it not enough that we don't collect from them? And that statement indicated this doubt, as we explained much earlier in the Gemara. Dorash Neymar. Hilchiso kavose derav, v'hilchiso kavose derav chispa. The Neymar is issuing a ruling, a psak halacha, that we will follow Rav, namely we will not take matonis from Levim, won't take from them. V'hilchiso kavose derav chispa is a reference to the Gemara that we had in our previous shiur, that mazik matnas kahuna, or one who is mazik matnas kahuna, or eats them, is poter milashalem. Ula have yohiv matanto lekahanto. Ula would give the matnas kahuna, the zroa chayim v'keva, to a woman who was a bas kohen, a koheness. Once it's established, once we know that the matnas kahuna are something that are not kedusha, they're not something that a zar is prohibited from eating. The main obligation with regard to matnas kahuna is that you must give it to someone, give it to a kohen. But once it's in the kohen's possession, it's not forbidden for a zar to eat it, which is different from the case of Truma, for example, where once you give it to a kohen, nevertheless, Azar is not allowed to eat it. So Ula would give Matnas Kuna to a Bas Kohen. Now, as far as the Torah is concerned, where it says, you shall give it to the Kohen, that we saw in the Pasuk, that says, V'nosan la Kohen, we saw a Pasuk in Vayidvarim Yudches Pasuk Gimel. So as far as that is concerned, and we've written this in between the lines, and it's a very important thing to note, that the term Kohen, as far as Ula is concerned, is Afilu Kohenes. Once again, Venosat, the Pasuk that said Venosan la Kohen, it's saying Venosan la Kohen, Afilu Kohenes, the word Kohen includes Kohenes. Well, Esve Rova Leula, this raises an objection to Ula. Rava raises an objection from the following Tanaic source. This source deals with meal offerings, known as menachas. The Torah, in describing menachas, makes a clear distinction between Kohanim that bring menachas and the rest of the population that brings menachas. The main distinction is that a Kohen who brings a meal offering, that meal offering is completely burnt, as opposed to the general population who brings a meal offering. So a kometz, a handful of meal offering, is removed, put on the mizbeach, and the rest, the shirayim, are eaten by the kohanim. The source reads, Minchas kohenes ne'echeles. Minchas kohen eino ne'echeles. If a woman kohen, means a bas kohen, brings a mincha offering, so the shirayim are eaten. If a kohen, a male kohen, brings, none of it is eaten. Now, the e amris kohen vafilu kohenes, if you are going to say that the word kohen, as it appears in the Torah, includes even a kohenes vaksiv, but it says regarding a kohen, it says v'chol minchas kohen kol miltia lo se'ochel, it shall not be eaten. And in the source we featured with our dashed underline that it is eaten. which would then be a challenge to calling a Kohen or calling a Kohenis a Kohen. Because if a Kohenis were called a Kohen, then the Pasuk says her meal offering would not be eaten. Omar Lei, Rebbe, at the top of Kuf Lamed Beis, Matuncha. Ula responded and said, Aaron Uvonov Ksuvim Beparsha. The word Matuncha, Rashi at the top of Kuf Lamed Beis says, Higaticha. Mishumha, it means I've arrived at you. I have an answer for you. Mishumhachi amrino gabi minchas kohenes denecheles. Rashi explains it. The reason for the minchas kohenes being consumed, being eaten, is the Aaron uvon of ksuva parsha. In the parsha of Minochas, we have, in addition to the word kohen, we have the word, the expression Aaron uvon of. It says v'zos taras amincha krevo so bnei Aharon. Since you see the expression B'nei Aaron stated explicitly, that means B'nei Aaron l'mu'utei B'nois Aaron, to the exclusion of B'nois Aaron. The B'nei is in the masculine form, the sons of Aaron. That is a reference to sons and not daughters. Avol matnas lo ksibu ela kohen greida. But when it comes to the matonas, the word Kohen alone appears. Where you see the word Kohen alone, not accompanied by B'nai Aaron, U'mashma Kohen v'afilu Kohenes. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, we have a little house marking, and you can see on the side under our Mivneh heading, De'ois Cholkois Batanoim, I'amrinan Kohen v'loi Kohenes. We'll see different Tanaic opinions regarding this matter. Do you say the word Kohen is to include or exclude Kohenes? So we continue in the Gemara, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Kohen Veloi Kohenes, that the word Kohen is to the exclusion of Kohenes. V'yilnoi Sosa Min HaMefurash. Now he gets to this conclusion by learning the unclear, the unknown, namely the issue of Matnas Kahuna, Min HaMefurash, from that which is explicit, namely the Parsha of Menachas, where we just learned that Benos Kohen are excluded. So I learned from the Parsha of Menachas to the issue of Matnas Kahuna, coming to this conclusion that Kohen is to the exclusion of Kohenes. However, another opinion, Debei Rabbi Lazar ben Yankiv Tana, he teaches in his Tanaic source, Kohen v'afilu Kohenes. In the case of Matnas Kahuna, where the word Kohen appears, the intention is to include Kohenes as well. Now, how does he come to this conclusion? Have a miut achar miut. There is a double limitation in the Pasuk. This is a reference to the Pasuk we have been citing till now, and Rashi quotes all of the relevant information. The Pasuk, namely, Dvorim Yudches Pasuk Gimel, it has said in the Pasuk, and if you look at the word Kohanim, you might in fact learn it to the exclusion of Kohenes, meaning it's in the masculine form, Kohanim velo Kohanos. However, at the end of the Pasuk, it says again, V'nosan lo Kohen Azroa, which you could say Kohen is in the masculine form to the exclusion of Kohenes. But then we have a double exclusion in the same Pasuk, a double exclusion. Well, that's called a miut. A double miut actually does the opposite. A double miut is something that includes. And that's what he says here, the miut achar miut elo l'rabois. Rav Kahana, now we have a series of double underlines. These are explained on the side. Amoroyim nisuin lebas kohen. Different amoroyim that are married to women who are from a Kohen family, ubekach ochlu matonos, and based on that they ate matonos. The Savri, they were of the opinion that the matonos could be presented to their wives. The Savri Kohen vafilu Kohenes, they are of the opinion, like we saw in the Tana Debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov that said Kohen vafilu Kohenes, and here they are. Rav Kahana Achal b'shvil ishto Rav Chana was a person married to a koheness, and as a result of that, he ate the matonas. Rav Papa achal b'shvil ishto, Rav Yemar achal b'shvil ishto, Rav Idi bar Oven achal b'shvil ishto. Omar Ravina, Omar li Meremar. Now, here we have a little piece of Gemara, once again, that's a Gemara that paskins, that issues a legal ruling. In fact, we saw Meremar four lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. And here, Ravina tells us in the name of Meremar, Hilchos Kavosei de Rav. We saw this before, that Meremar paskins like Rav, that we don't take Matnas Kahuna from a Levi. Vilchos Kavosei de Rav Chisda. This too we saw, this had to do with the din of being Mazik Matnas Kahuna, that we don't take from them compensation, we don't obligate them to pay. Vilchos Kavosei de Ula. Well, Ula, we just saw three lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, where the Gemara said he would give matanas to a kohenes, to a bas kohen as well, to a female kohen. Vilchus kavose de Rav Ado bar Avo, and he also rules like Rav Ado bar Avo, which we haven't discussed till now. And that's why we have a connector, Leviah Shiolda, a woman whose father was a Levi. She is a Leviah who gave birth to a little boy, firstborn little boy. Beno poter mechamesh slim. There's no requirement of pidyon haben with regard to a bas Levi, even if she's married to a Yisrael. There is no pidyon haben obligation. The pidyon haben obligation is based on a woman who is not from the tribe of Levi and also not married to a Kohen who gives birth to a firstborn boy. But in this case, you have a woman from the tribe of Levi, and hence she is exempt from Pidyon HaBen. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.